this past week, I may get to a message. I have some things, but I just want to share some things that are really in my heart, and I believe they'll help you. So this past week, I had two encounters of the what kind that, as the terminology is, I got wrecked. I had two encounters that wrecked me this past week. All right. The first one started on Saturday, and I was not paying attention. And I haven't done this in years, Michael. I was ripping out weeds. And I had an encounter with poison ivy, poison sumac, and poison oak. So I am wearing long sleeves. I could have been the poster child of the ugly swamp monster or something. You know, blisters and oozing. And so that was my one encounter, all right, that just was horrific. And just so you know, we're just real, is I prayed about this. And the thing is that by Sunday, so it was Saturday I was picking weeds. By Sunday, it was exploding. By Monday, it was bubbling. Yeah, because I have a history that's, you know, pay attention stuff. So I prayed. I said, Lord, what should I do? Because I was leaving that evening for a conference. I thought, oh, Jesus. I'm going to sit around for a conference for 3 days oozing and, you know, stuff like that. So I went to the doctor and put me on prednisone. And it doesn't work overnight, but, you know, it just did. But I was just, like, itching and stinging and oozing and itching and stinging and stuff like that. So it was just great. So that was my first encounter. But let me tell you, Sherry and I went to a conference. It was a pastors and leaders conference. And as typical, but that changes from now on, though, but as typical prior to that, I was kicking and screaming, I don't want to go. Oh, my gosh, Sherry, leave me alone. I don't want to go. Gosh, waste my time. They'll probably have these big speakers with mega churches, and they're going to talk about church growth, and what the heck is that going to do? You know, I was pretty, you know, anybody get pitiful like that? No, you're all so perfect. Thank you. Sorry, I'll talk to you. So we get there, and they had a majority of speakers of small churches that God got hold of. Really, pastors came to the end of their self and said, God, I'm not doing this anymore. And I thought, man, God, this is me. Like, I did not want to be there, but God wanted me there. And I said, Lord, I am tired of this and this and this and that and that and that. And not y'all, but just, you know, just church. Church can sometimes just be wearing, okay? And I wasn't seeing what I wanted to see, and I just was going in a bad place. And I was listening to these speakers say that they took time to get into the presence of God. Now, I do this every day, y'all. Come to my house. You know, between 5:30 and 6:30, I'm up, I'm downstairs, I've got coffee, I've got the Word of God. Many times I'll have a worship song on. Mostly it's just me singing, so maybe you don't want to come, okay? But I sing so good to the Lord, and I have times. But this, and then a speaker said this, and I wept. And I wept for the next 2 days. So between the pink on my body and the pink on my eyes, and I just got some new pink glasses, which you'll see next week. But everything on me was pink because I was just, tears just falling out of me. Because the speaker said this, and this was me, and he said, I've missed you. I've missed you. I've missed you. And you know, sometimes in life, you know, have you ever had, I know you guys are running, you run in the door, hey, honey, I love you, kiss, 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 and you just keep going, hey, hey, and you just keep going. And the Lord was saying to me, I've missed you. But listen, I read my Bible every day, I pray every day, but the Lord said, I missed you. I've missed you. And I realized I have missed him. And I just sat there, just tears, going, God, I'm so sorry. Lord, and he started reminding me of things that I knew that God had gifted me with, that I just kind of slid under the chair. and things that he had spoken to me that I just hear, and because I was running, and I'll be really honest with you, I operated in a lot of fear. A lot of fear. Fear of what y'all would think. Fear what somebody would say. Fear, gosh, they record this blessed thing now. Talk about, wah! Okay? And the Lord says, I have given you my spirit, my love. You would be afraid of me? I wept. I wept. So, seriously, I cried for like 2 days straight. Yeah, and I had to go into the doctor's office and pick up these glasses, and they were thinking, what is with this girl? So I want you to know that, and you all know this, you can't follow a leader unless they're leading. And I really was not a good leader. I was just busy doing things and loving you all and doing this and loving you all and doing this and loving that. But I want to tell you, my first love I hang out with. And it's not the amount of time. Gosh, I remember when I had little babies, I'd lock the bathroom door. And some little kid would go, mommy, mommy. And then they put their fingers under the door. I was like, I had times where I just knew, Jesus, I'm here in your presence. I'm here in your presence. Now, I do this in the car, but I keep my eyes open, too, okay? But I'm driving sometimes, I'm just washing dishes, or I'm folding clothes, or I'm just do whatever, I'm here. Jesus, I'm in your presence, and it is good. I give you my heart, and I need to hear from you. I'm here. I'm in your presence, and it is good. So, I am a new person, and I challenge you. Cry a little and just, I don't want the memo. Can you imagine getting an email? I missed you, all right? Let's not miss them, all righty? Okay, praise God. I just had to get that out. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you are our Father, and you're the dad. You're our dad, and we're so glad you're our daddy. And you've got, and you've planned, and you've purposed us to be here today, to hear and to know and just to be challenged by you. And I thank you, Father, that you have words that will continue to speak to our hearts and open our eyes, that we will live this life, this abundant life that you said we'd live, Father, for your glory, to touch and to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Last week we started reading out of Psalm 23, and man, Michael, when you were sharing, I was like, yes, perfect for today, hallelujah. I always love that. I love when the worship songs that y'all sing just go with the message, and I didn't even give them the memo. So can you open up your Bibles to Psalm 23? We're going to read this out loud, all right? Okay, if you don't have a Bible, you want a Bible, wave. The guys in the back will get you one. If not, they'll put it up here. How many of you probably know most of this? Yeah, Psalm 23. All right. Okay, when I say three, we're going to read it together. You ready? One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Man, that is a great psalm. Amen. That is a psalm that you need to know. Right along, like last week we said, Psalm 91. You need to know that, all right? And listen, especially the crazy world and the times we're living in, hey, I need to know, and you need to know, you have a good shepherd. Amen. Amen. This should be something you know. So I'm just going to give you a quick review, and we're going to jump into what the Lord put in my heart for today. Okay, so last week we said, hey, who's the author of Psalm 23? Call it out. David, that's right. David was a shepherd, and he wrote this, all right? And he was also a very good shepherd, but God had impressed on him to write this about the good shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus. So this is written to us, okay? So you should read this. I'm telling you, you should read this, and you should say, I know. He is my good shepherd, and he's going to take care of me. Amen? All right? Now, last week we also talked about sheep. Sheep, sheep, sheep. Oh, Lord, sheep. All right? Sheep sometimes do silly things. Sheep kind of wander. And sometimes sheep will just kind of go to the edge of the cliff and you think they're going to jump off. But the good shepherd, it says, they go in and they pull them, right? A good shepherd pulls them out. Well, guess what? We have a good shepherd. And there are days we wander, and he is a good shepherd, and he's trying to pull us back that we would be safe. Aren't you glad you have a good shepherd that's after you? Yeah, amen, he is, all right? And did you know that the psalm, especially this one, was really a song? It was written to be a song. Anybody want to put it to music, go have fun on it, okay? But it was written as a song. They would sing these in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, most of the psalms are psalms, which means songs. And it's also, Psalm 23 is also called a pastoral psalm. It's pastors and shepherds, and you'll see a lot of similarities with that, all right? But, you know, as much as you can see similarities with pastors as shepherds, we have a good shepherd who we need to follow. Amen? Yeah, amen. We need to follow him. So here's where I want to go today. Let's read verse 1. Verse 1 here. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So here's my question. Is he a shepherd to you? Is he just a shepherd to you? Is he just the shepherd to you? Or is he... Everybody say, my shepherd, my shepherd. And that's kind of what God was dealing with me this past week, my shepherd. I'm telling you what, when he is my shepherd, that means I have a relationship with him. He's mine, and I have this relationship. And when I have this relationship, all these good things that he's promised, I'm going to have when he's my shepherd. Yep. So let's read the rest of that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everybody say want. I shall not want. Okay, what does want mean? Well, in the Hebrew, it means lack. It says, I will not lack. I will not lack. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Okay, so I don't know if you've been in church for a while, but usually when Psalm 23 is preached, and this part, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it's usually two things you're going to hear. Ready? You're going to hear it where? At a funeral, Psalm 23. You're going to hear it at a funeral. How many have heard it at funerals? And that's okay. That's okay. And you know, because of that, because of I didn't have a Bible, and the only time I ever heard Psalm 23 was at a funeral, I was like, I'm not reading that. That was dumb. Right? Well, okay, so a lot of people read this at a funeral, and the second time you'll hear this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it has to do always with money, right? I shall not want. Everybody's going, your mind's going to money. But here's the thing, let me ask you a question. Do you have any areas in your life where you might be lacking in? Do you have any areas in your life that you're lacking in? Like maybe you're lacking in some relationships. Don't raise your hand. Maybe you're lacking in some areas in your marriage. Maybe you're lacking in some relations with your kids. Maybe you're even lacking in finances, because I've been there, all right? But so this can mean all of that, okay? But it just means lacking in some area. And so if that's what it means, but yet everybody's ever talked about it, it has to do with money. I thought it has to do just with money. No, it doesn't have to do just with money. It can do with anything. It's doing anything that you have lack in. All righty. So lack means lack. Anything. What's anything mean? Anything. You didn't even need the Hebrew dictionary for that. Anything means anything. All right. Anybody have some anything that you might be lacking in, that you might have some wanting in? Well, I do. All right, so lacking, anything. Anything means anything. And he's saying, I am the good shepherd. And he's saying, I will not want because of my good shepherd. All right, so lacking. Maybe you're a single mom and you feel like you're lacking in some areas, like, oh my gosh, I don't have a husband, I'm living on half an income, and life's really tough. And yeah, I'd say I understand that. But how about if the good shepherd says, I will help you in this lack? Right, that's what he wants to do. Or maybe you're a single dad and all of a sudden you're raising kids and you're like, OMG, how do I do this? All right, and you're just crying out, Lord, I am lacking in how to raise kids. You don't even have to be a single dad to do that prayer, right? Okay, or maybe you've lost a loved one and you're like, Lord, I feel like this deep hurt inside that because I've lost this loved one. All right, well, how about he says, I am the good shepherd and you shall not lack. Because I am going to be the good shepherd that's going to come in your life and bring you through that. So praise God. He's the good shepherd, all right? He is a good shepherd, and he wants to help. He wants to help, right? So, you know, I see this happen a lot. So I've got this area in my life. I've got this lack in my life. I've got this situation in my life. And help! Okay? And a lot of times what we do is we start looking to a person. We start looking to a man and a woman to be the help, all right? And that's okay to a level, but I'm telling you what, that person can't be like God can be, the good shepherd can be, all right? And you may be the bestest person on the whole planet that comes over and says, hey, I'm here, I'm going to help you, I'm going to be like your shepherd. I can do this and I can help you there. Hey, that's good, and we need as believers to come alongside, but I'm telling you what, they're going to go home at night, right? And then, but we have a good shepherd that wants to be the help for everything in your life. Single mom, raising kids. Oh, raising kids, I'm telling you what, all right? Finances, he is the good shepherd that wants to help in every area of our life. He does, he really does. So the next thing I want to kind of shift gears, grinding over here, we'll get to this one here. I want to tell a story. You all probably know it. It's the children of Israel, okay? Children of Israel were in bondage for 430 years. That's a long time. 430 years, and God sends a guy named Moses he raises him up to bring them out of bondage, okay? So God sends Moses into Egypt, and he raises him up to bring these children of Israel out, all right? But the reason why I want to show you this, because it's, you know, sometimes, oh, that's a Bible story, that's a cute Bible story, Pastor D, I remember dressing up in the costumes. Yeah, we can do that. No, I want you to see how God took care of them, and he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and he wants to take care of you the same way he took care of them. And he did some banana things. Let me tell you, and he wants to do banana things in your life. He wants to show you that he's the same God to take care of you and anything that you got going on, he wants to take care of you. So let me tell you the story. Open, and you might be going, oh, Pastor D, I don't know if I believe all that. Well, what is it? 2 Corinthians 1, all of God's promises are yes and amen. So if God promises to take care of them and he promises to take care of you, I'm just going to go, amen, amen, all right, amen. All right, open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 2, Deuteronomy 2, Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. The Lord your God has blessed you. So this is God talking about the children of Israel, all right? The Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hands. He has watched over your journey through the vast wilderness, okay? Here's something you might need to know, that he is watching over your journey. He watched over theirs. He's going to watch over yours, all right? And in case you don't know, you're on a journey with him. Hopefully, you've got him with you. He's on a journey with you, and he wants to watch over you. Everybody say, he's watching. He's watching over you, all right? So the next part, he watches over your journey through the vast wilderness. For these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked, what's that word? Anything. You have not lacked anything. Nothing, not a zip, nothing, nothing, anything. Wow. Now, sometimes, you know, you read this, but you're like, and you can be thinking, oh, you know, there's just a couple hundred of them. There's just a couple hundred of those Israelites, and God took care of them, and they lacked nothing. Guys, there were millions of them. And I was Googling the last couple weeks, and, you know, it's somewhere between 2 million to 300 million. Okay, that's a big difference, but that's more than all the people in New York City. And God took care of all of them, a couple of million. He took care of all of them, and they didn't lack anything. That's outrageous. That's just, blah, right? Alrighty. So, now turn over to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 5, all right? So God, they lacked nothing, all right? Here we go, Deuteronomy 29, verse 5. This is the Lord talking. I have led you for 40 years in the wilderness, and your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. Can we talk about this for a minute? Right? I don't want that promise. Promise. Some of you are wearing clothes from 40 years ago. No, I'm not looking at anybody. Look at the ceiling, Pastor D. Some of you are wearing your clothes from the 80s. No, I'm not looking at you. Okay, all right. So, geez, please. Listen, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but you went shopping and you bought something and you wore it and you wore it and you wore it and it started wearing out and you're like, dang, I should have bought another one of those, okay? Anybody do that? Jack would buy the same sweater, three of them, three different colors. He just would just wear them out, you know. He was like, I'm not wearing them out, I'm just going to wear them. But think about these guys. 40 years, and their clothes and their shoes didn't wear out. So they didn't have an opportunity to go into their walk-in closet and swap something out. They wore the same thing. I don't want that promise. 40 years, and 40, okay, 40 years. Ladies, shoes, 40 years old? No. Listen, I gave up probably about a decade ago these most uncomfortable shoes. You know those spikes with stilettos, 3 to 4 inches? I had one of every color. They were really carry me in, sit me down shoes, but I don't wear them, and I don't care if I'm not cool. Look at this, like little wedgies, maybe an inch and a half, okay? I don't care about cool. I'm going for comfort, all right? So anyway, silly thought. You want to wear the same pair of shoes for 40 years? Oy. All right. So this is not my favorite promise, and I'm probably not believing God for that, all righty? But here's what I want you to see. God took care of them. The same God that took care of them for 40 years, and that, you know, some of us, you know, we're like, I don't have anything to wear. And God's going, I'm taking care of you for 40 years. I got this, all right? He took care of them. Guess what? He wants to take care of you. But you got to know that. And I'm telling you, the only way you're going to know that is you're going to get quiet, and you're going to sit with him, and you'll know. Amen. Okay. So, you know, and I was also thinking about this. Back in the day, 4 kids, taking them right before school starts to get sneakers. I would have bought, that's about when I'd believe, hallelujah, the shoes didn't wear out. We don't have to go to Target with 4 kids. All right, that would be good. But that's the only time I think I'd kind of like that promise. But praise the Lord. All right, but God took care of them. That was amazing, right? Everybody say, that was amazing. God took care of them. All right. Turn over to Psalm 105, Psalm 105, verse 37. Psalm 105, verse 37. So the reason why I picked this, Chad and I are having a discussion. Pastor D, you got these weird translations. No. This is taken out of the Hebrew, okay? And this is an Old Testament scripture, so this is why I picked this one here. Plus, I have Bibles in my house, and I just like picking them up. All right, here we go. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brings them out with silver and gold, and there is not in its tribe a feeble one. In other words, nobody coming out. Nobody, those 2 to 30 million, nobody coming out was sick or feeble. Nobody, right? Okay, now, I think that's naturally impossible. But guess what? That is supernatural. And I believe, because you know what they did the night before they all left? They were having dinner. They were having the Passover dinner. And I believe God did miraculous, supernatural healings that night because there were none feeble and none sick. And that same Passover lamb is Jesus that we get to take. Amen? Shh. Amazing, amazing. Okay, and then we get to the part, he brings them out with silver and gold. Everybody loves that part. Yes, silver and gold. I want silver and gold. Man, this is awesome. Silver and gold, right? Is it just me that wants silver and gold? Give me yours. Praise the Lord. I follow the stocks on this, okay? But listen. So God said to Moses, go tell all the Israelites that have been in slaves to go to their soon to be ex-masters and ask them to give them, I'm sure there was a sentence a little bigger than that, but just ask them to give them silver and gold. And they did. I know there was a big paragraph on how that happened, but just, so God told Moses, tell the Israelites to go to their the people that had slaved them, and they gave them all this silver and gold. So they have all this silver and gold, all this silver and gold. They have all this silver and gold. Wow, okay? And I know it sounds really great. They have all the silver and gold. But the Israelite children had a problem, just a little bit of a problem, all right? Because once they had all the silver and gold, okay? And once they got out of Egypt to the other side and they have all the silver and gold, Moses goes to the top of the mountain. He's going to meet face to face with God. Oh, my gosh. So Moses is up at the top of the mountain, and all this 2 million plus go to Aaron, his brother, and they go, Aaron, we're tired of waiting on Moses. Could you make us something to worship? Could you make us something, something, something to worship? All right? So guess what they had to give? Guess what they gave? They gave all their silver and gold. And Aaron makes them this idol that they could worship. So Moses comes down, and he's not a happy camper, right? He is not a camper that's happy, all right? So that's not the part that gets me. I mean, that's just one of these days. You know, every once in a while, I'm just sitting around. I'm like, what was going on? But so that was one of my thoughts, the silver and gold. But really gets me is there was not one sick, feeble, broken, diseased person when they left and came out. It's just amazing. Now, you have to remember, for 430 years, they had, so your great-grandpappy, your great-great-great-great-grandpappy, and your great-grandpappy, and your great-grandpappy, and your great-grandpappy, and grandpa have been slaves their entire life. Okay, so they might be malnutritioned, right? They might have disease and sickness, and they might just be ready to fall over, right? And he says there's not one that was sick or feeble. Okay, whoa, I love that. So this is what I want you to know. God cares about your health. God cares. The same God that loved and took care of these children of Israel is the same God that loves you. Put your hand in your heart. Thank you. God, you care for me. Thank you. You're the good shepherd. You care for me. You care about my health. Amen. Praise God. Now, I don't know. In this church, I know you never heard this, but you might have heard this from somebody and maybe some church, that God allows you to be sick so he can teach you some things. Or God puts sickness on you and bad things on you so he can teach you some things, okay? Okay, now, listen. The only lesson, I really think the only lesson that you really should learn from is not sickness, but how about you learn from this? This has got tons of lessons about sickness and disease, all right? So no. And you know, I think I have been sick and I have been well. I have been sick and I have been well, all right? And I'll tell you what, I'm not learning much except for, dear Jesus, either take me home or heal me, because this is not fun. Anybody just ever say, Jesus, this is not fun, right? So I've been sick, and I really didn't enjoy it. And I really kept thinking, there's no learning in sickness. Did you learn something? No, except, I'll tell you what I did learn. So I had my gallbladder taken out. Oh, gosh, that was crazy. And I'd never had surgery, right? And afterwards, I had compassion for people who had surgery. Whoa, it was not an overnight recovery, all right? Okay, I've been a few times been sick, when I get sick, I quit talking. And I have great compassion for people that are sick and dealing with maybe long-term stuff, all right? So that's about the only thing I learned, all right? Compassion, amen. I like being well. Okay, turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, where we're going to read, but starting in chapter 5, is called the Sermon on the Mount. Raise your hand if you've ever heard the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus got this bunch all sitting on top of a mound, all right? Sermon on the Mount, it's called the Beatitudes. I want to tell you what, I have been reading that since I got back from this meeting, and I get as far as the first one, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, all right. So just read the Beatitudes, but here we go. Matthew chapter 6. So we already know who is the good shepherd. Jesus. Who is the great shepherd? Jesus, right? And we said last week that Peter describes him as the chief shepherd. So he's numero uno, all right? He's the chief shepherd. And, you know, the thing is, so he's the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and then he's got under shepherds, and that's what I am. I'm under him. I'm under shepherds. He's got people that are pastor under shepherds, all right? And the thing about under shepherds, guess what? Ta-da! I am human. I make mistakes. Notice I'm smiling. Right? Yeah, okay? So what I like to encourage people is don't look at me, look at him. All right? Look at him. All right? And I can almost promise you, probably by the end of the time I'm preaching, I will have offended somebody. See, they even post them now. All right? Guaranteed, I will offend you. Probably. Yeah, most definitely. All right? Not you, somebody else, because they're not okay, but... But how many of you have ever taken one of those personality tests? I take them every couple years. They're kind of interesting, all right? So I have been described, well, I'll not tell you everything, okay. I am not Pastor Sherry. She's like, confrontation! She runs into it. Let's do it yesterday! I am the peacemaker. Oh, can we all be nice? Let's not fight. Let's all just be good. Okay, that's me, all right? And slap that one on. I'll pray about it first. I'm going to pray about it. But, start this sentence with a but, baby, watch out. But, there are times that God tells me to proclaim stuff from his word, proclaim the truth, to speak it out that's going to offend people. Because this Bible is offensive sometimes, depending on where you're at, all right? So I will boldly go, no, I will boldly proclaim what Jesus tells me, knowing that I'm not purposely trying to offend people. And I try to say it as nice as I can, okay? But I will. Everybody say offend. Oh, well. Okay. All right. Why did I say all of that? Matthew 6. Guess who wrote this? Guess who spoke this? Jesus spoke this, and he offended a bunch of people with what he's about to say. He offended them. Wait a minute. This is Jesus, the good shepherd. Yep, and he might just offend you. All right, get over it. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Ready? No one can serve two masters. All right? Turn to your neighbor and say, no one. All right. So stop trying to do it. Who do we serve? Jesus, all right? No one can serve two masters, all right? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I like the Passion Translation says, you cannot worship the true God while you're enslaved to money. You cannot serve both God and money. How many have heard some really off-the-wall crazy stuff about money preached? Like, I have heard goofy stuff. Oh, my gosh, okay? But here's the thing. Money, okay? Money's supposed to be your servant. Everybody say servant. Okay, money's supposed to be your servant, all right? Money's supposed to be your servant, and you are not to serve it. Money's supposed to be your servant, okay? So, meaning it is not supposed to control you. Money's not supposed to control you. It's supposed to be a tool. Matter of fact, when you receive money, if you're a believer, it's in your hands, and you do as the Lord says, it actually has become sanctified for the Lord, okay? If it's not your master, all right? And praise God, all right? So Jesus knew we're going to be tempted to do money bad, money wrong, all right? Because that's why he wrote this. He wrote this in here, all right? So what's this whole thing? You can't serve two masters. You can't have God and money. What's this really dealing with? Priorities. It's dealing with your priorities, all right? Him first or money first? Him first, that's my priority, or money. That's all it's dealing with, all right? So let's keep reading verse 25. Don't let money control you. Verse 25, here we go. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. How many people do you know that are just worrying about everything? Pastor D, gas prices. I had at least 5 people come up to me last week worrying about gas prices. All right? Or this one, Pastor D, is this the end of the days? Is this the end of times? I'm like, what are you worrying about? Worry, 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 okay? So why does he say, do not worry? It has to do with trust. It has to do with trust. All right? It has to do with trust. Everybody say trust. All right? Trust, all right? All right, let's keep reading. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Or your body, what you wear, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. In God's kingdom, it's all about sowing and reaping. What you sow, you're going to reap. You sow, got news, you're going to reap. All right, just had to say that. That's how it works. You do it, you might not even know you're doing it, but you're sowing and reaping. All right? Okay, so look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any of one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? All right, so you might be like me. I could care less about birds. Really? Okay, so what's this about? God's saying, hey, listen, I take care of the birds real good. And you are so much more valuable. You are valuable, more valuable to me than the birds. Thank you, Lord. More valuable than the birds. And I will take care of you. All right, that was pretty easy. Okay, everybody say, I'm valuable, I'm valuable, I'm valuable. Yes. Hey, man, I'm valuable to the good shepherd. All right, so let's keep reading. Verse 38. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grasses of the field, which are here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry. Whew. Okay. We are living in a time where people are constantly pushing worry. Okay, now they have a really fluffy term for worry. Aren't you concerned, Pastor D? That's worry. Aren't you concerned? That's worry. They're pushing worry. Worry, 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 okay? Oh, my gosh, did you see what they do to read about inflation? Oh, my gosh, the market's like this. Oh, my gosh, the gas. Oh, my gosh, okay. They're pushing, they're pushing, they're pushing for you to worry, okay? Now listen to what he says. Woo! Verse 31, here we go. So do not worry. All right, do not. Okay, let me back up. Do not worry. He is shifting how you're supposed to think. He is shifting how you're supposed to think. Everybody say, do not worry. Wait a minute. Everybody on the news, even my, anyway, so-and-so is telling me to worry about this, be concerned about that. And he's saying, no, do not worry. I want you to shift how you think. Woo. Why? Because he's the good shepherd, and he takes care of anything and everything. Amen? Praise God. He cares about you. All righty. So, according to this, worrying will not cause you to grow any taller. but really, it's not going to, worrying isn't going to make anything better. except for sleep deprivation, okay? So anybody know worry, people that worry, worry warts, we used to call them, you know, just crazy worriers. So I was thinking, silly thought, so if worrying won't make you go taller, does worrying make you go shorter? Huh, maybe, all right. This is what I think of some days by myself, all right? So, all right. But listen, he says, do not worry. I want you to shift the way you think because he is the good shepherd. He wants to take care of you. All right. Why? Here we go. Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That means run after him, run after his kingdom, run after hanging out with him, run after his presence, run after just moments with him. Okay. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. All right? The most tempting thing is not chocolate cake, and I make a great one. The most tempting thing in life is to worry. It is. All right? You got this. I got my checkbook. You guys don't have checkbooks anymore. What do you got? Right? Okay. I do a checkbook. Okay. Kids make you worry. Life makes you worry. Your boss makes you worry. Okay. The most tempting thing that we have in life is to worry. Praise God. Now, worry, and really worry is I am not trusting him to take care of me. I am not trusting him to take care of me. So wait a minute. This Jesus died on a cross for you, how much more would he say, hey, I died for you. I went to hell for you. I took your punishment for you. God raised me up from the dead and sits me up, good English, at the Father's right hand. And now you're my child. I want to take care of you. I want to take care of you. I want to take care of you. Guys, he just wants to take care of us, okay? But we have to shift not to get into worry. Praise God. All right. So, it's crazy out there. Yeah, yes, it is. There's all sorts of things that you could possibly go get down and worry. But I have watched, not you, but some other people, jump in and act like the world. Jump in and act like the world. And they're ugly, and they're worrying, and then they're ugly, and then they're ugly. All right? But, hey, listen, we have now, if you've asked Jesus to be your good shepherd, your personal shepherd, you are now in his kingdom. And how about the kingdom of God says, how about you love your enemies? How about pray for them? All right? That's how we're to do this. Amen. Pray for our enemies. Some of you might be your family. You might be your boss, okay? Pray for them, all right? Listen, we have a good shepherd who wants to take care of us. How about we go do what he says to do? Go love. Go, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. If you're taking notes, the four things that we just covered, real quick, some of you, I always like, take notes. Go stick them in your Bible and read them later. So four things that we just went over in Matthew chapter 6. Ready? The first one is serve him alone. We just serve him. That's the first thing I remember. I am going to serve you. Just you. Just you. And you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God. And you can't serve money. Just get him straight. Serve him, all right? And listen, money, I am going to master it. It is not going to master me. Okay, so the first thing is we serve him alone. Number two, don't worry, all right? Don't worry. Don't worry because worrying is not helping you. Amen? It's not going to help you. Number three, don't pursue wrong things. Don't pursue wrong things. Listen, if you're non-believers that don't know, they're pursuing things and things and things, okay? But we know him, so we're not going to pursue things. We're going to pursue him. Why? Because the number four, we're going to seek him first. First, I'm running after him first. I'm running after him first, all right? So those are just kind of the highlights, and I just kind of want to, I want to go over about a couple more scriptures, okay? Open up to Hebrews chapter 13. This is written by Paul, and it's going to say some of the same things. Only thing, Paul just really, Jesus looked like he was really sweet. Paul is just going to smack you like you're going to get it, all right? Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Paul says this, don't be obsessed with money. Anybody know some people that are obsessed with money? I got to have money. I need more money. Money, 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 money. Yeah? Anybody know some of those people? And you know, and he's saying, don't be obsessed with money. And sometimes we see people, you know, you can watch them on your whatever, you know, and you're like, whoa, this guy is filthy rich. He's worth billions, okay? Whoa, money, that's just awesome, okay? Yeah, you know, but you don't know what happens behind the scenes, okay? And most, a lot of people that have, tons of money, they're oppressed, they're depressed, their families are gone to poo, okay? And they're going through divorce and then multiple divorces. And yet we go, oh, man, they have all this money. Nope, money is not the beginning and the end, okay? I was watching some, anyway, they were singing, money's good, money's good. Yeah, if you're the master, but don't be obsessed with it. All right, so don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have. Woo! That is not an American value. Live content. No, that is a God value. Live content with what you have, okay? Doesn't mean you can't have stuff. Just be chill about it, all right? All right? Okay, so then the next part, for you always have the presence of God. You know what your goal should be? God, I just want your presence. And that was me this past week. I just got readjusted, back on track. Okay, God, money's great. I love money. If you don't want money, give me money. I love money. Okay, I'm not love in the bad way. I'll take your money, okay? But you know what's first? Your presence to be found in you. Paul said, and this is Paul who wrote all the epistles towards the end of his life. He says, there's one thing I desire to be found in you. Your presence. Oh, so good. Okay, got chills. Praise the Lord. All right, so the one goal is to be found in him, draw near to him, right? Amen? All right, so let's read the last part. For hasn't he promised, I will never leave you, never, and I will not loosen my grip or my hand on your life. Woo! That is a promise that, now we looked at the children of Israel and the good shepherd and the promises then. This is a promise for now and today for you. Just grab hold of that promise. Amen. Praise God. So, here's two thoughts. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd, right? All right? So, I want you to think about, is there something in your life, close your eyes, don't look at somebody, is there something that God could help you in your life? I got tons of things, I got a list, but is there something in your life that God could help you that you may be deficient in, that you may be lacking in? Is there something in your life, all right, that whatever it is you're lacking in, okay? And know that God wants to help you. God wants to help you. Whatever you're lacking in, he wants to help you. He wants to help you, all right? So question, can you think of some deficiency, that means lack, some wanting in your life that you might need some help on, all right? You should have a list. I always have a list, all right, all righty? And for some of you, it could be, you know, you're just deficient. Oh, this is a good one. I used to say this about Jack. You are deficient in listening, buddy. You need to listen. Because he was just going like this, okay? So maybe you're deficient in listening. And you have to say, God, I'm deficient. I need help. All right? Some of your wives are going, meh, meh. All right? How about this? Maybe you're deficient in food. Obviously not too much food, but you're deficient in balancing that, all right? And you go, God, I need some help. Maybe you're deficient in relationships, all right? Maybe, this is you. Everybody just messes me up. These people are just always messing me up. Well, maybe you're deficient because it's you that needs to get to the Lord and say, you know, I think I need some help with relationships instead of they is their problem. Real quiet in here. I know you're just thinking, right? Just thinking. Okay, I'm moving on. Y'all know a very familiar scripture, Philippians 4:19. For my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. All right? Okay, so we usually tend to think this only has to deal with money. Nope, you all know now it's an anything. Anything, everything, whatever thing, all right? Okay, but let me read this out of, how many of you ever heard of Rick Renner? Rick Renner, he pastors and he just does a lot of things in Russia. He's got big church. He's a Greek scholar. He just takes apart words and he makes like big sentences out of them. Just so good. So he's in the process of writing his own Bible or translating a Bible, and it's called the RIV, Renner Interpretive Version. So let me read to you Philippians 4:19. Listen to what he says. But my God, this is still good. But my God will supply all your needs so completely that he will eliminate all your deficiencies. My good shepherd, my God, that's what he wants to do in my life. Just God, you want to do this in my life, okay? So whatever, this thing or that thing, he says, I want to eliminate all your deficiencies, whatever you're lacking, whatever there's a need. I want to eliminate that, okay? And listen, I need him to help me eliminate things. I am far from perfect, and I have a list, all right? Okay, but that's what he says to do, so that I will not want, all right? Keep reading. I will meet. Okay, so my God will supply all your needs so completely that he will eliminate all your deficiency, and I will meet all your physical and tangible needs until you are so full. You have no more capacity to hold anything. So full that you have no more capacity to hold anything. I can see that. And he will supply all your needs until you are totally filled, packed full, overwhelming to the point of bursting at the seams and spilling over. Okay, that does not just include that. How about you're deficient in loving people? Your love walk is a little... And he says, I will fill you with what you're deficient. It says, for the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I will fill you that you will be so loved. And listen, what is going on in the world is a lot of hate and a lot of mean and a lot of ugly. What do you think they need? They need the church. That's me. That's you. To be these people that love, that it just pours over into them, all right? Loves. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So maybe you're deficient in your marriage. Maybe you're deficient with your relationships. Maybe you're deficient with your kids' relationship. Maybe you're deficient in finances. Whatever, whatever, whatever. Just say, Jesus, my good shepherd, will eliminate my deficiency and fill me. Amen. I'm looking to him. All right. So what do we do now? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How about, can I pray for y'all? All right, just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you that you have spoken, and you continue through the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Listen, God is always talking. He's been talking through his word. Speak to our hearts, Father. Show us these areas that we are in want and lacking, deficient. Show us, Father, so that we can shift and see you and know you as the good shepherd. And you will fill us and overflow us in ways that we can't even plan. And I'm a planner. You can do that. Some of you, it's just time to say, I am not worrying, and I am shifting to trusting you. I shift, and I will trust you as my shepherd, my good shepherd, who cares for me. In every area, the things that have kept me awake at night have caused my heart to beat too fast at the wrong time, Lord. You care for me, and I'm going to trust you. You know, this is like the homework thing. You just have to get quiet. And I just ask you to take this as a challenge this week to find those quiet places. You know, it could be 5 minutes. Just sit down and get in his presence and let him continually say, hey, I did it for them. I love you so much more. Would you trust me to turn this around my way? Amen. So I have one more thing. If you're here today, and this is the real deal. This is the most important thing. If you're here today, and you have never done anything with this Good Shepherd, Jesus. You may have heard about him. You've may have been in church your whole life. You know, you maybe had Granny read you all these Bible stories, but you have never done anything personal with this Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Can I tell you, today's a good day to ask him. And he only comes where he's asked. He only comes if you open your heart. But would you ask him to come into your life so he can be this Good Shepherd involved, and just he'll never leave you. He'll never walk away from you. All right. So today's, I think, is a good day to say, Jesus, be my Good Shepherd. Come into my life. So if that's you and you've never done this, all right, I'd like to pray with you. And it's not a complicated thing. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come up and everybody turn around and look at you, stuff like that. Just say this prayer with me, all right? And today will be the beginning of the best day of your whole life. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And also, if you did at a time ask Jesus to be this personal Savior, Shepherd, and you've just kind of pushed him in the closet and shut the door, and you've just been living your life by yourself, he's the Good Shepherd. He's pulling at you. He's pulling at you, and he says, come on back. Today's a good day. So maybe you're here, and you'd say, I'm coming back. All right? I'm coming back. I'm coming back. So I'd like to pray for those two things today. If that's you, you'd like to receive Jesus into your life for the first time, would you raise your hand? And I would pray for you. Okay? I see that hand. Praise God. And if you've asked him a long time ago and you just shut him in a box and you're like, Pastor D, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody that say, Jesus, I'm just coming back. Coming back. I see that hand. Good. I see that hand. Good. Good. Okay. You know, God is not complicated, because I'd probably flunk the class. Right? He asks you just to pray from your heart. So I'd like you to repeat after me and just listen to your words. You know, you don't have to scream it, but you need to hear yourself pray. All right? And he will show up and do everything. So how about everybody stand and we'll do this together, okay? And many of you have done this before, but we'll all do this together. Everybody say, Father, today I come to you. I surrender my life to you. I need a Savior, the Good Shepherd, to lead me and guide me. Jesus, I invite you in to my heart, to my life, to lead me, to guide me all the days of my life. I surrender to you. If you prayed that prayer, you are now a child of God. And nothing can separate you from the love the Father has. Nothing. So walk with him, all right? And you're a part of the family of God. I always say heaven is our final destination. He is now Father. Jesus is your friend. It is good. It is good. Amen.